B2. Number 3B.
This point here, when it is reached, Mrs. Eddy calls that we reach the point of the numeral of infinity. She says, at the end of the 7 days of creation, she says that the 7 days of that the numerals of infinity, called 7 days of creation, can never be reckoned according to the calendar of time. These days have been reckoned according to the calendar of time. They took time to fulfill itself. But the moment we see that they are only the way, the phenomena, how they appear in the human, we begin to realize that they exist as ideas in the ether. The numerals of infinity, Infinity has no time, neither a short time nor a long time. The numerals of infinity, called 7 days, can never be reckoned according to the calendar of time, and they reveal newness of life. So at the point of life, we always get the sense that the days of creation disappear and that isness appears. And that's the end of the linear thinking. At this point, we begin to realize that there must be a higher way how ideas can be reckoned than through the days of creation. And therefore, at that very passage where she speaks about the numerals of infinity, she says, and thought accepts the divine infinite calculus. See. So that at this point, we are ready for a step forward, namely to a step where we begin to realize that everything is timeless and spaceless, and therefore that we have only to do with ideas of isness. Yes, that would bring me now to the next step which we had on our chart, namely to the functional thinking. But before I go to that, I just want to ask you, is that clear? Does this make sense?
Yes.
All right, well, that's all right, let me go further. So, we leave this and come to the numerals of infinity. Now, here again, perhaps a word for you so that you can defend yourself. You know that Mr. Dorley's teaching has been decried as numerology. I don't know how one can say that, but that's one of their defense, because they never have read Mr. Dorley's book, so they had to take an argument and say it's numerology. Now, if we say something about 7 days, well, that seven is just a symbol and which shows a law, but that doesn't make it numerology, because numerology really means that one attributes to a number a spiritual quality. That's numerology. But if I live in a house which has the number 16 or 7, and I say to myself, well, that's a heavenly house, and therefore nothing can happen to me because I live in the number 7, street number 7, then I'm a numerologist. Then I believe that the number 7, which is put on the door of my house door, has a spiritual meaning. But this is something very different. The Bible uses the 7, I don't know how many times. Mrs. Eddy uses the 7, I don't know how many times. And to say then that we are teaching numerology is really a bit far-fetched. Yes. Now, can you take that chart which has the title Days of Creation, Numerals of Infinity? Have you that in front of you? if the days of creation are something different than the numerals of infinity, then we should know what the difference is. And I have tried to give a few terms or ideas to each synonymous term, as you see. In one column, the days of creation, and in the next column, the corresponding numeral of infinity. Again, I want you to be absolutely clear what is meant by days of creation and numerals of infinity, because this is something which so few students really know. A day of creation is a creative process, is therefore a process in time and space. A numeral of infinity is something which happens in isness, which has no time element, no space element in itself. With this drawing here on the chart, you could see how I tried really to show you, see, how these seven, you see, they just become smaller and smaller in time, you see, until they touch the point of isness. This is something which perhaps you could also say, Mr. Eddy says, or the Bible says, that 1,000 years before God, or as one day, perhaps here, before, what is it, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and vice versa. Or, as Mrs. Eddy says, the rays of infinite truth, when gathered into the focus of idea. See, these rays of infinite truth, when gathered into the focus of ideas, they all come together into one focus, this point here. They all gather, all these rays. See, I could have really shown it like this. See? These are the rays. Can you see it now? See? So that here we have a wonderful example of what Mrs. Eddy meant, that when the rays of infinite truth, that all this is infinite truth, but when the rays are gathered into the focus of ideas, bring light instantaneously. So we come to the instantaneousness, to isness, to nowness, newness. Whereas 1,000 years of human doctrines and hypotheses and so on emit no such effulgence. See, here it took perhaps 1 billion years to have this point of mind. Perhaps another 500 million years to have this point of spirit. But when Jesus came, he could already gather those infinite truths into a one life span. And finally, we come to the point where they are gathered in just in the point of idea or of isness. So, we perhaps go quickly through some of these terms here on the chart, just to explain a few, to get the tone of it, and afterwards you can think it over. See, we have under mind beginning. Beginning is an idea of mind. It's a quality characterizing mind. Well, mind doesn't have a beginning. Beginning is not something which exists in being. Beginning only exists for us. For us, something begins. But for the infinite one, never has anything begun. So, it is really what I think all or idea, which is expressed through that, through beginning. Can you see that the days of creation, that the tone of beginning, becomes here beginning, we had here all the beginning of life, but here, at the point of idea, it just is idea or all. All which has no beginning, no end. Or we have creator. Well, creator means that something is coming into being. Well, that isn't true in being. only our concept, how we experience something, that God is a creator. But God isn't a creator at all. Isn't a creator at all. We experience the new flashes of light that come into our life as God being a creator, but he isn't. We can say he's power, because power is that which constantly brings into being what we consider as creation. But in the ideational, in the isness, in the being, creator can be perhaps considered as power. Or we have that mind leads and guides. You know, the commandment, I am the Lord thy God which led you out of Egypt, and so on. Mind leads, God leads. He doesn't do a thing like that. He doesn't do a thing like that. Being cannot lead, because lead means you are led from one point to the other, in time and space. Well, isness doesn't know time and space, and therefore there is no leading and no guiding. It only comes to us, to the human sense, to the relative sense, as guiding and leading. But the fact behind it is that there is law. But there is law. Law is something which has not a beginning, not an ending. A law is something which has not a time element. A law is something which just happened, but happened intelligently and rightly. It comes to us as, perhaps, as guidance or leading. Another one is wisdom, and the corresponding one is really intelligence. Wisdom is a very human thing. You have to be wise about something, therefore you have to know the right instead of the wrong. But God doesn't know that. God has a one-value logic and not a two-value logic, which says this is wise and this is unwise. And he has acted wisely, which means he has not acted unwisely. But God himself isn't wise. He's not a wise guy. It's just intelligence. Just intelligence. See? Although I'm a bit sacrilegious. Can you send it? All right. Can you see with these few indications the great difference between days of creation and numerals? Let's take one of spirit. We have there separation. You know, in the second day of creation, we have separation. That there are firmament to separate the waters above the firmament from the waters beneath the firmament. It's separation. But God can't separate. If God could separate, he would have to know duality. You can only separate if you know duality. But God doesn't know duality, therefore he really does not separate. I think he's just reality. Or you have development. Well, development is certainly a time sense. Something develops over a time period, whatever the time period is. But unfoldment is a fact, you see. It's the fact about being. It has nothing of the kind of time and space in it. And the process has no process in it. Unfoldment, we have development and order. Huh? What did I say before reality?
You said reality originally.
Yeah, did I? All right. Yes, we came development, you see, which has a time sense, and then we have order. Order doesn't have a time sense. If I have the order of 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 in mathematics, you see, that is not a development. It's an order. Just as 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 is another order. It's the order of the fives. But it's order. It has nothing to do with development. Can you see that?
Yeah.
Well, it's no use, I think, just to go over all these here, because it's always the same, the main thing is that you get the tone, so to say, the spiritual tone in your ear. Or take just one from each synonymous term, soul, for instance, resurrection, you see. Well, we can only have resurrection in the human. God has no resurrection. God doesn't resurrect. God is not resurrection, nor does he resurrect. God is really identity. He is what he is and remains what he is, but that comes to us that we feel a sense of resurrection because it brings us out of a false identity into the true identity. When Jesus was resurrected, he was resurrected out of a false identity, a false sense of man, into a true sense of man. But man, the identity man, never changed in that process. See, the identity man was before the resurrection and after the resurrection the same. Can you see that? So, let's take one of principle. For instance, I have here interprets. Well, perhaps this is not a very good one, but just the same. Principle interprets, that's the day of creation. You have to teach how it is. That means that somebody doesn't know. And therefore you have a sense of duality involved in it, and you have to interpret something because it isn't yet clear. Whereas the scientific sense of it is science. Science which just knows what it knows. Just knows its own being, its own system, and in itself. And therefore does not need to interpret itself to itself. It does not need to instruct itself what it is. Therefore, interpretation or instruction or expounding something is only to the human sense. Or you take life, we have there exaltation, again like resurrection, you see, exaltation, well, we exalt ourselves, well, I had a wonderful lift up. Well, this is typically the fifth day of creation, the lifting up of thought. Well, God hasn't a lift up. Hasn't a wonderful uplift. He is what he is, you see. He's immortality. Don't you say an uplift? No? Uplift. Uplifted, huh? Yeah. Yeah. So, whenever we think we are uplifted, we know jolly well that we didn't play the game properly before. Yes? So we needed a spiritual uplift, you know. Isn't that what they say in the testimony meetings? Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's fine. I like it. But the fact is, you see, that behind it is immortality. That things always were as they are. In being, nothing had to be uplifted. There is no soaring above mortality. You are already in the divine immortality. Or truth, let's take the first of truth. Truth is affirmative. You see, that typical day of creation. You have to affirm truth to yourself. Truth doesn't need to affirm itself. Truth doesn't need to affirm itself to be truth. Truth is truth. Mathematics doesn't need to affirm that 2 times 2 is 4. Therefore, we can see that the right sense of affirmation is divine consciousness. And only because we are not in the realm of divine consciousness, we have to bolster up ourselves mentally and say, I affirm this and I claim this and I affirm this and affirming and affirming and denying and affirming and denying. It's argumentation. But in the numerals of infinity, we don't have that. It's consciousness, divine consciousness. And that's where I want to lead you. In love, for instance, we have rest on the seventh day. God rested from his work. Well, that's not true. It just isn't true that God rested from his work. That's how it appears to us. that there was nothing more to be created. You see, that through 6 days, he was working, and on the seventh day he rested. Well, he was never working 6 days. That's how it appears to us. He is always at the point of perfection, of glory. Of perfection or glory. There is no rest. We say there is rest in work and work in rest. Well, that's very nice, and so on. So the days of creation are not wrong. Let me be clear about it. The days of creation are not wrong. I just want to show that there are a beginning stage and not a final stage. And that we have to see what the higher stage above the days of creation are. And these are the numerals of infinity. We call them, Mrs. Eddy calls them numerals of infinity, because with infinity she means there is no beginning, no end, no process, nothing. It's just infinite in every way. Yes. Is that clear too? Who dares to say no? But I wanted to point this out. It has not very often been pointed out in this way, because I want you to train to be the platoons of Christian Science and be able to stand the criticism which may come in this country. You see, you are the nucleus of a new idea, and therefore you will have to face all sorts of silly criticism, which are all based on not knowing what we teach. But it's good to be sure in what one knows and to know what one is talking about, so that at least here you have a sense of the difference between numerals of infinity and days of creation, because Mrs. Eddy says so, and we rely on this. Well, that finishes our linear concept. Because at that moment, that linear, see here we had a linear concept, linear, and comes to the point of isness. And the moment we come to the point of isness, we come to a very different consciousness, which I, at this present moment, I would call the functional thinking. Don't take me by this word, I may change it after a year or so. I just don't know at the present moment a better term. The term itself doesn't matter. What matters is what is implied by it. Can I put it up? Yeah. No, it's quite different. I have a whole wall like this, you see, with pens, with paper. And I start there and paint and paint, and then we have always the same thing in view of what they have been doing during the seminar. Well, now, we come to the functional. We used to call it the blending of ideas. Quite a good expression, the blending of ideas. I like it more as the functional, and what is implied by it is this. But instead of having that linear development of thought, we have come to the point down there, you remember, of isness, where there is no more a development, where there is no more process, time process, but where there is just isness. Now, if we have ideas as isness, these numerals of infinity, I have idea, here an idea, and 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 here an idea, infinite ideas, as they have no process of development, they have relationship, reflection relationship. Each idea, I take this one, reflects this idea. Because The moment we have idea, there is no more time, no space. That's the great thing. I always wonder, if we are really aware and grateful, and if we can really stand in awe before the fact that what Mrs. Eddy discovered is principle and idea, and that idea is the answer to the most important problem which we have to face in this world, time and space. There is no bigger problem. To say cancer, no. No. We can see through time and space, then we have a timeless and a spaceless idea, and therefore no more any limitation. Then all beliefs which come from limitation, and matter is limitation, therefore the whole question of matter and body is solved in one go. That's what I would like to tell you, see. That's why we started this morning to say, don't try to solve atomistically the problems, because they never end. They never end. You kill one and they set up five ten dozen. But if we can go right down, you see, to the structure of being, and one of the main points of the structure of being we touch now is idea. Idea, incorporeal, limitless, timeless, spaceless. You see? If we have idea, we have no body. If we have no body, we have no disease. So, what we must see is that each idea is not an atomistic idea, an isolated idea, but that each idea reflects each other idea. And naturally that this idea reflects this, and this, and this, and this. And that this idea reflects this idea, and this idea, and this idea. And that this idea reflects this idea, and this idea. Now I say, oh, you see, a few ideas already, and you have multitudinous reflections. Now, this is what I would call the functional thinking. That the moment you touch what we call an idea, like substance, or power, or joy, or anything like that, but the moment you touch an idea like that, you can't touch just this idea and say, this is power. Because this reflects at once all other ideas. And unless we see it as reflecting all other ideas, it isn't an idea. It isn't an idea. That's clear. Once again, this is important. See? We talk about the idea of power. Alright, let's say this here is the idea of power. What does it mean? It doesn't mean a thing. It only means our sense of power. That's all. You see, if we say God is power and that power is the idea of God, what does it mean? It means our sense of God having power. That's all what it means. And that's really not much. Only when I begin to evaluate this idea, power, in the light of all other ideas, then I must let go of my concept of power and close this concept of power with other ideas, and then it becomes idea. But no more concept. Yeah? Now, let's say, we have seen that there are seven synonymous terms which constitute reality, which constitute being. Therefore, if we take an idea of mind, of one of the seven synonymous terms, one, and say an idea characterizing mind is power, we at least have to see it in the light of, say, second spirit, first soul or principle. Oh, now it is, yeah. Two, three, four. Principle, huh? Life, truth, and love, and so on. Can you see that? That's what we call the blending of ideas. That actually, just by knowing, by heart, that power is an idea characterizing mind, we haven't gained a thing. We only have gained one thing, namely, that we have a characteristic of mind, but what it means, we have not yet gained. We only will gain the meaning of power of mind when we combine it with at least the main point of the seven synonymous terms. And if I view it in that way, then I have to drop all my human concepts of power, because I have to submit the divine, my human concept to the divine ideas. And in that way we get a round, a concrete sense of ideas.